Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stephen Nill, CEO of CharityChannel.com. So, you want your charity to succeed. You came to the right place. Integration of online and offline techniques is the key to your successful fundraising, and practical advice on going green is what you need. With this show, The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart, you will learn from experts around the world who provide advice you can use. Our host is Ted Hart, one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. This year, he is celebrating 25 years in the nonprofit sector and the 10-year anniversary of his firm, TedHart.com. His books range from successful online fundraising to the use of social media and how to make your nonprofit green. His guests are leaders in their field who will share tips and trade secrets for nonprofit management, green strategy, and fundraising success. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, here's Ted.
And good afternoon. This is Ted Hart. Thank you, Steve, for that wonderful introduction. You are here live on the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show. Today is June 20th, coming to you live from the nation's capital. Those of you who are familiar with the show know that we always start off with page one news. Before we get to the news today, just a reminder that this is a live call-in show. You can call and ask questions of our page two experts today by dialing 347-324-3080. You can also join us over in the chat room. I see a number of folks over in the chat room. Hello. Or you can also email me today at tedhart@tedhart.com. The radio links for today are always available for you to follow along as I'm sharing with you information about news from around the nonprofit sector and around the world. You can follow those radio links at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. First up here on Nonprofit Coach page one news today comes to us from Social Access. Social Access is reminding us of the top 10 social media pitfalls to watch out for. And as you read down through some of those, some of the more important ones that I want to draw your attention to is number six, replacing traditional media entirely with social media. As we have shared with you here on the Nonprofit Coach, it's all about integration, online and offline. The internet, social media, online fundraising is vitally important to the future of nonprofit organizations, but not to the exclusion of traditional fundraising, which means integration is the key to your success. Read all about it in the radio links today at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. While you're there today, you will also be able to download a copy of the new white paper that comes to us from Hootsuite, written by Nicole Kelly. This particular white paper is the second in their series. We did share the first in the series a few weeks ago, which was Introduction to Social Media Measurement with Hootsuite. Now you can also download Applying Social Media Measurement to the Sales Funnel. Those of you who are regulars here on the Nonprofit Coach know that we are huge, huge users of Hootsuite.com. That's Hootsuite. You'll find this white paper over in the radio links today. Terrific service. Highly recommend it to help you organize your social media online. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach is not only a link to share with you today, but also a mention of next week's show. Here coming to us from Mashable, again, one of our favorite websites here on the Nonprofit Coach, Mashable.com now shares with us hands-on Twitter's new photo sharing service. You can get information about how you can integrate photos into this new service, which is provided by TwitPic for Twitter. Now, that just brings me to a little bit of a mention for next week's show. Next week's show, we are back on Tuesdays, our regular show time, and that is June 28th. We have an expert on the use of Twitter for nonprofit organizations. Do not miss that show. Today, of course, is our very special Monday rescheduled show because today when we get to page two, we will have nationally renowned experts Edith Falk and Peter Fissinger, who is going to be here to share with us the just-released Giving USA Report 2011 on the national announcement of philanthropic activity for 2010. So stay tuned for page two today. Now, the June 28th show, which is next week, is our final show before our summer hiatus. Nonprofit Coach does not produce in July and August. We will be back with a full fall schedule starting on September 6th. Now back here on the radio links for today is to draw your attention to an important new ebook which has just been released. Now it's my pleasure to welcome here on the Nonprofit Coach Kate Sloniker, sorry about that, Kate, who is the Director of Marketing for Cvent. Now, before I welcome Kate here onto the show, I do want to note to all of our listeners that you can download a free copy of Event Marketing 2.0, How to Boost Attendance Through Social Media. Now, this is a very important new document that is being provided by Cvent. So welcome here on the Nonprofit Coach, Kate Sloniker. How are you, Kate? Kate, are you there? Kate, well, maybe you have us on mute. I can see you on the switchboard, and I do have you live here on the Nonprofit Coach. Kate, are you there? Well, hopefully we'll get Kate here live on the show. I do see you on the switchboard, Kate, so maybe you need to dial back in if you're having trouble speaking through your phone or however you're dialing in today. While Kate comes live here on the show, I do want to again note that this important new ebook is Event Marketing 2.0, How to Boost Attendance Through Social Media. Now, this book covers a number of different very important tips that we share with you here on the Nonprofit Coach. We hope to have Kate back in just a couple minutes so that she can highlight herself some of the important goals of this book. But this really helps you with crafting a social media marketing strategy to be able to build upon your offline activities. Kate, are you here with us on the show? Kate, oh my goodness, I can see you there on the switchboard, and your microphone is on. So hopefully you can jump in whenever you're able to get your phone working there. Kate Sloniker was planning to join us here live on the Nonprofit Coach. She is the Director of Marketing for Cvent, who is releasing today this important new ebook that is available for your download today. Now, I do recommend that all of my listeners today do download this book. It's going to cover topics such as Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and the use of YouTube. They walk you through how to create a Twitter account, to customize your profile page, to use LinkedIn, which, as you know, here on the Nonprofit Coach, we consider LinkedIn to be one of the top strategies for nonprofit organizations. And then it also walks you through step by step on how you can share the event with a link to your registered LinkedIn folks, people that you're connected to, and then it goes right on through to Facebook and helping you to build your event in Facebook, help you to post on event walls, to invite others through Facebook. So this is really a very comprehensive book that allows you to immediately jump right into wherever your strategy might be. So if you already have a Facebook strategy and you need to add LinkedIn or Twitter, this is going to help you walk right through. But so many charities miss the opportunity to also incorporate YouTube into their overall planning, but not with this ebook. With this ebook, now you're going to have expert information that's going to allow you to develop a YouTube channel, to use event dates, and all of those hidden tips. Kate, are you here with us on the show? Okay, well, we're going to hope to get Kate back here on the show. We're going to move on here, but again, I've just reviewed for you how important I believe this ebook is. and how utilizing all of these various tools together into an integrated social media platform, and then integrating that with your offline activities. I'll continue to monitor the switchboard. If it is possible to bring Kate Sloniker in, I do want you to get a chance to hear directly from her as a representative of Cvent. If not, we will try to get Kate on the show next week. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach is an article that comes to us from the Wall Street Journal. This is entitled Cash-a-thon, The Rise of Charity Races. And what this walks through is just how important races and sporting events have become to nonprofit organizations. But it does take money to raise money. And some of these activities can be very costly. And as we know, special events really have to be evaluated as to whether or not they are the best way for you to raise money. And I'm very pleased in this New York Times article how they spend time really talking about the average cost of fundraising per dollar for special events versus direct mail and major gifts. And the graph that they have there will be very helpful to you in placing the emphasis correctly and various fundraising tools. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach, Radio Links, find that you're going to be able to go to one of Ted's favorite things. And as you know, one of Ted's favorite things is the freeconferencecall.com. Now, I've shared this several times here on the show before. I'm always trying to find ways to help charities save money. And in this case, they have now expanded their service to free international calling. In-country dial-in numbers are now available in multiple countries. So if you do business or are looking to connect with people from around the world, now you can continue to use the same free conference call information, and that's available over in the radio links today. For those of you who have been listening here on the Nonprofit Coach, you know that we have been following the story of the nonprofit organizations who have lost their tax-exempt status. Now, what we do know is that 279,595 nonprofit organizations lost their tax-exempt status in the first-ever automatic revocation of tax-exempt status. What's very interesting is now GuideStar has done some analysis of those charities, and the top 100 that had their status revoked had revenue from $4 million to $400 million. These links are available to you over in the radio links today. We continue to monitor this story because, of course, I'm going to be very interested in our page two experts if they think, as we roll forward, if fundraising numbers and totals are in any way going to be affected by the fact that there are now 280,000 fewer charities here in the United States with tax-exempt status. As we continue here on the Nonprofit Coach, we have mentioned in the past the American Express NGEN, or Next Generation Fellows. Well, their fellowship program, the 2010 NGEN Fellows Project, has now produced what I consider to be a very important report for nonprofit organizations. And this is all about intentional succession planning through leadership development. You can get a copy of this report. It was convened by the independent sector, partially funded by American Express, and this is a culmination of the work of these fellows. And this group of 12 nonprofit and foundation professionals that were convened helped put this report together. So read all about it in the radio links today at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. Now I'm going to give one more shot here and see if we've got this an opportunity to talk to Kate Sloniker. Kate, are you here? No, we're going to get Kate on the show next week. We're obviously having some problem with connecting Kate here on the show. The next thing that I want to draw your attention to here is another Ted's favorite thing, and sometimes you just need to take some time out. And one of the things that I love on the internet are really great new opportunities for you to learn about new services. And if you've not discovered Slacker Radio is a terrific way for you to create your own radio station, listen to the music that you want, or in my case, I love listening to comedy skits that are available on Slacker Radio. Well, now over in the radio links today, you're going to be able to get a free month of their premium radio service and entered into a drawing for one-year subscriptions for Slacker Radio. So you'll be able to find that and follow that and add that as an option even to Facebook to have your own radio station over on Facebook. That's Slacker Radio at tedhart.com. Click on radio links today. As we start moving towards our page two experts, I do want to draw your attention to the fact that you can call in today and ask a question at 347-324-3080. If you prefer, we've got quite a number of people over in the chat room. Hello, folks. You can type out your questions there, and I will ask them of our page two expert on your behalf if you prefer not to dial in today. You can also email me at tedhart@tedhart.com. Important notice here, and that is you'll find over in the radio links highlighted in yellow today that there are two positions available over at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. We want to draw your attention to the fact that they are looking for qualified candidates in Washington, D.C., or willing to relocate to Washington, D.C., for a resource development manager working in the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Department of Migration and Refugee Services. They are also looking for someone to be their program development coordinator who will essentially serve as their grant writer. That's also in the Department of Migration and Refugee Service. Today you'll find in the radio links a link to where you can find out more information and even how you can apply online. So all of that information is available to you from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And with that, that wraps up page one news today. Having wrapped up page one news, that means that we're on to our page two experts. It's a distinct honor today to have the opportunity to reschedule the Nonprofit Coach from our regular Tuesday 12 noon time slot to this very special Monday 12 noon time slot. The reason that we did that is today is a very big announcement. In the nonprofit sector, there are a few reports that come out that are more anticipated and more important than the annual Giving USA report. Well, today we have Edith Falk, who is the chair of Giving USA Foundation, as well as chair and CEO of Campbell & Company. Edith Falk is very well known and really requires no introduction. Her career spans more than 30 years of institutional advancement. The Giving USA Foundation is the publisher of this seminal annual report, Giving USA. She also is a member of the Editorial Review Board and Advisory Council on Methodology for Giving USA. Today we will also have, as a page two expert here on the Nonprofit Coach, Peter Fissinger. Peter is president of Campbell & Company. He's also chair of the Giving USA's Foundation Advisory Council on Methodology and a board member of the Giving Institute. Peter, also very accomplished, has 27 years of professional experience in institutional advancement and has been directly involved in designing and implementing major capital fundraising, annual giving, planned giving, marketing, and publication efforts. Needless to say, these folks have the eminent criteria needed to do a great job with presenting for us today their work, Giving USA Report 2011. Welcome here on the Nonprofit Coach, Edith Falk and Peter Fissinger.
Good afternoon, Ted. This is Edith. We're happy to be here.
Hi, yeah, it's great to have you here on the Nonprofit Coach. Thank you so much for choosing the Nonprofit Coach as the venue today for your radio announcement of the very important Giving USA report. Now, before we get to the very important and highly anticipated numbers of this year's Giving USA report, I was wondering, Edith, if you would first share with us the Giving USA Foundation, the Giving Institute. What are these organizations, and why do they matter to the nonprofit sector?
Sure, Ted, I'd be happy to. The Giving Institute is the professional association of consulting firms that's address the needs of nonprofit organizations throughout our country. We have about 40 members of the Giving Institute. The Giving USA Foundation is the educational arm of the Giving Institute, and as you said earlier, we are the publishers of the Giving USA report and have been the publishers under different names for more than 50 years.
That's great. Edith, I'm just going to ask you to move a little bit closer to your phone. You are a little bit muted coming through the radio show here today, and I want to make sure all of our listeners can hear you loud and clear. You were talking about
Ted,
the giving.
Is it better?
Yeah, that, I think that might be a little bit better. You were talking about the Giving Institute. There are 30 members who make up the Giving Institute. And is it correct that that group gave sort of birth to the Giving USA Foundation, which is responsible for the release of today's report?
That's absolutely correct.
Now, tell us about the Giving USA Foundation, and again, just a little bit closer to your microphone, and give it a little bit about the Giving USA Foundation, what the goals are, and what you hope to accomplish with this annual report.
Well, the Giving USA Foundation is the publisher of the Giving USA Report, and as I mentioned earlier, although you may not have been able to hear me, we've been publishing this data under various names for more than 50 years. So the goal of the Giving USA Foundation is to bring to the public, to the nonprofit community and to the general public as a whole, data relevant to the work, to the role of philanthropy in our country. And Ted, you may be getting into this a little bit later on in the program, but I will say that philanthropy in this country, and particularly in the last decade, represents about 2% of the gross domestic product. So it's a very important part of our economy. It's certainly important to those nonprofit organizations that provide so much value in our communities in so many different areas, whether it's education, human services, arts and culture, the environment. But certainly an important part, part of the nonprofit economy, and certainly an important part of the larger economic picture in this country.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, and I think that the 50-plus years of history that you bring to this report only adds to the importance that nonprofit executives and donors throughout the country should be placing on this report. Peter, I was wondering if you might, as the chair of the Giving USA Foundation's Advisory Council on Methodology, talk a little bit about, again, before we get to the numbers, how does this report come together? It's sort of it's a very big country, and we're talking about some very big numbers, as Edith just said, to try to get your arms around 2% of the entire GNP of the United States. It's got to be a daunting task. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, we engaged the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University to conduct this research for the Giving USA Foundation. They are a top team of academicians and researchers with whom we charge the responsibility of conducting the research to make it sure that it's done as professionally as possible. Secondly, I would say that, so that people are clear, the model is a predictive model. The estimates that came out today will continue to be refined over a two-year period until those numbers are made final in 2012 for the year of 2010. And so what we use a variety of data to accumulate the estimates. The primary driver for individual giving is IRS estimates, and then we use some other models to refine those IRS estimates. Generally, we find that the biggest predictors of philanthropy are the economy and personal consumption, as well as corporate profits and the various financial markets. When possible, we use partners, such as the Foundation Center, to help us aggregate data from specific areas of philanthropy. We also have somebody from the Council for Advancement and Support of Education serving on the Council of Methodologies, just to give you an example of how we try to broaden the net as far as possible.
Now, as you're going through that, it occurred to me to wonder, and again, before we get to the numbers themselves, this is a two-year sort of rolling process for you. What sort of revisions have been made over the last couple of years, and what were those numbers? So let's take a look at the historical aspect before we get to this year's numbers.
Well, if you were to look at the historical aspect, if you were to track the Giving USA numbers from the time it began, we found that the research is a very high predictor of philanthropy. Historically, we've been within about 1% of the final totals. I will say that we have found that in the past 2 years that the data has been slightly less accurate. We expect to come within about 6% of the total giving predicted 2 years ago. And specifically, Ted, what we found is that there really wasn't any great way to predict the depth of this recession. So some of the models that we used were less accurate now than they had been in the past. We think two things. First of all, the recession, the depth of this recession was extraordinary, and gratefully, we don't expect to have that kind of event again anytime soon. Secondly, we've taken steps to refine the model to make it more accurate in the future. We've put some other indicators in that would help us capture the kinds of things that happen in a steep decline in the economy and a steep decline in the stock market.
Peter, let me just, for a programming note here, whatever you just did was great. We can hear you much better now. So I appreciate you doing that to help us have good audio today. So a summary of what I'm understanding on the methodology side is that the disruption to the economy was so severe that it really made it more difficult for you to really pinpoint those numbers over the last couple of years.
That's exactly right. And as a note, we found that one of the biggest revisions to individual giving was due to the fact that the IRS had to revise its own numbers on individual giving. So the predictors we were using were less accurate during this recession than they had been in the past. We're focusing more on personal consumption rather than personal income in the future because we think that consumption is an indicator not only of how much money people have, but how they feel about their security, which impacts their philanthropy. So it's a combination of models that we've used in the past that were highly accurate being less accurate this time, and also refining that model going forward to try to make sure it is as accurate as it can possibly be.
So what are those historical numbers revised now, and I gather may even be revised again? What is the trend over the last couple of years?
Yeah, Ted, this is Edith. Let me try to address that question. We had originally projected giving for 2008 and 2009 to be above the $300 billion mark, and in going back to revise those numbers, we've had to reduce that to just under $300 billion for 2008 and $280 billion for 2009. And that's the number against which we are comparing the increase in this year's giving numbers.
So there has not been an increase in giving in the United States since 2007?
That's correct.
So, Edith, as the head honcho here and the chair of the Giving USA Foundation, why don't you go ahead and fill in the blank for us and tell us what is the number for 2010, and then we can start talking about the significance and breaking that down.
Sure, Ted. And frankly, it's a bit of good news. So we're happy to report that giving estimates for the year 2010, the year that ended at the end of December, are reported at $291 billion, which is an increase of 3.8% in current dollars. Now, when you adjust that for inflation, it's still an increase, but of a slightly lower amount. It's an increase of 2.1%. So it's an actual increase over giving in the prior year in 2009. It's an actual increase of about $10.59 billion. So it's clearly moving in the right direction. It's not as big of an uptick as we might have liked to see, but it's moving in the right direction.
But, Edith, it's still below the anticipated final number for 2008. Is that correct?
That's correct. And in fact, the sobering reality here is if we continue to increase at this rate, a 2.1% inflation adjusted rate, it's going to take us probably 5 years before we return to the giving levels of 2007.
Troubling, Edith, when we're looking at a nonprofit sector that is in many ways being called upon to do much more than it has in the past, and it's looking like the dollars are just not there.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's been a tough, very tough couple of years for the nonprofit community, and particularly for those human service agencies that are providing for basic needs in our communities. And what we're seeing as we look forward is that it's going to continue to be tough times for the nonprofit community. We're not out of the woods yet. We're beginning to see much more encouraging news as we move into 2011. There have been reports of some truly significant gifts in higher education, in healthcare. There have been reports of nine-figure gifts. So what that's telling us is that mega donors are once again feeling more confident about the state of the economy and the state of their own personal financial situations and able to think about making larger gifts. And I think there's a trickle-down effect to the rest of the population. So hopefully people are going to feel more confident about their ability to make philanthropic gifts as we come into the last two quarters of this current calendar year. And as you know, the majority of giving in this country happens in the last quarter of the fiscal year. So if the economic news continues to be strong, as it continues to improve, hopefully we'll have an even better than expected 2011. But as I said earlier, we're not quite out of the woods yet.
Edith and Peter, I'm wondering if in looking at these numbers, and we really appreciate, again, your utilizing the Nonprofit Coach radio show to release this $291 billion announcement, 3.8% increase over the prior year and 2.1% increase taking into inflation. I'm wondering if you do, as you were just mentioning, you know, the future is rough for charitable organizations, and there are some people who are saying that there could be some rough road ahead for the U.S. economy. Is there anything in your report or anything in the information that you have that would help predict what happens, or is your methodology more geared towards reporting?
The methodology, Ted, this is Peter, is more geared toward reporting. And what I can say about what we've learned through the research is that the economy and the stock market and personal consumption are very high indicators of philanthropy. So that's the data that you can take out over the broad base of the country and over the wide scope of nonprofit organizations that exist. But within that, we can tell you that anecdotally, in our work in professional service from helping nonprofit organizations, that there really are things that organizations can do. What we notice anecdotally, for instance, is that when individuals face some troubling times and they choose to reduce their level of philanthropy, by and large, they reduce the number of organizations they support before they reduce the amount in which they give to their favorite charities. And from that, one of the things we've always done is help organizations work hard to become a top charity with the individuals they serve. And that's where a whole range of professional practices come into play to help nonprofit organizations weather the storm.
Peter, you brought up such a very important topic, as I've always shared in my lectures and in the strategy that I provide to nonprofit organizations. I tell them that they're really fighting to be third for their donors, and that this is an individual by individual, people to people process, in that most folks, not all, but most folks tend to give to their alma mater, give to their house of worship, and then other charities fall in the 3, 4, 5 range. And if I'm hearing you correctly, what a lot of donors do is they become much more focused on the charities that they have a relationship with, as opposed to sort of spreading money around when times are better.
Ted, I would absolutely agree with you on that. I think what we're, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about the, quote, new normal. And while that's not a phrase I'm particularly fond of, I do think there are some things that may have changed in the way people think about their giving. Peter, and you also referenced the concentration or the reallocation of dollars to those organizations that people care most about. We're hearing a lot of conversation about impact. Tell me how my gift is making a difference. So that people do want to focus their giving in those areas, first of all, in areas where they feel passionately with causes and organizations that they really care about, and they'll tend to give more if the organization can define for them how that mission, the mission of that organization, is making a difference in the community or in the nation or whatever the sphere in which that organization works. So people are really paying attention to messaging, I think, in a way that is a harbinger of how organizations are going to increasingly need to message in the years ahead.
Well, and Edith, you bring up such an important point, and I was wondering if you could respond to, obviously, one of the topics we cover very heavily here on the Nonprofit Coach is the influence of the internet and social media online fundraising. And it seems to me that in sort of this laser-focused world of philanthropy, that the internet plays a very important role to a donor's ability to gather information. And how does that now dovetail into giving?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing, and again, this isn't evidenced by the Giving USA data, but certainly Peter and I and others are seeing as practitioners in the field, is the extent to which donors or even prospects before they become donors will go online to do their research about an organization before they decide to invest a philanthropic gift in that organization. So certainly the internet is key in that. And we've certainly seen social media play a very important role in building community of like-minded individuals, which are certainly important to nonprofit organizations who have a strong advocacy role to play, but also increasingly benefiting their fundraising program as well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that you yourself in your report break down a specific measure of online giving across the country. Is that correct?
Right. There is not specific data on that, but there have been a number of other surveys completed recently that are showing an increase in the use of social media and an increase in giving over the internet. So that's certainly a trend. I think we're all expecting that to continue to grow.
Absolutely, and we put out our own estimate always following the Giving USA report. We always wait for sort of the big wigs to put out the big number, but it does look next week when we make our annual assessment of online giving is that it was quite a big increase over the prior year, and there's several reports that from Blackbaud to others who are showing that to be the case. Are you sensing that there is in any way more of an institutionalization of online giving, or is it still on the edge?
There's no question that online giving is becoming more institutionalized, Ted. I think it's important to point out, though, that even individuals who may make major gifts online will often interact in a personal way with the organization before deciding to make that gift. And so what we are finding with organizations is that online giving is becoming increasingly important. One's web presence is increasingly important, and the ability for somebody to make a gift easily online is critical to nonprofit organizations, but it does not replace the need for the organization to be very personal in its outreach, especially to its major donor base.
It really is a measure, as we mentioned in page one today. It is an integration model that has really been the key to successful fundraising in a traditional sense. And now as we introduce the internet and social media, that hasn't changed at all. It's the integration of the various tools, which is where professionals come in. Is that right?
That's right, and if you've been around as long as us, you remember when computers first came into the development office, and every great evolution in technology, there have been some practitioners who may think, well, now I don't have to talk to my donors. It's never been true, and it'll never be true.
Yeah, that's a very important statement that you've made, because we certainly agree with you that fundraising has always been and remains, even with the use of the internet, to be a people-to-people business. Excuse me, Edith and Peter, we're going to take a short station break for a sponsor message. We'll be right back. When we come back, I was hoping that you would take that $291 billion estimate of online giving in 2010 and help us break that down in terms of where that money goes, and then some of the key factors that you think charities ought to be utilizing this information for. We'll be right back after the break. We continue to be so pleased to have Blackbaud as a sponsor of the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show. Do you want an easy-to-use solution to raise more money? Well, Blackbaud can help. Blackbaud is one solution from the world's leading provider of fundraising and CRM software for nonprofit organizations. With Blackbaud, you can raise more money both online and offline. There's that integration that we were just talking about with Edith and Peter, with the help of built-in fundraising best practices. You can also focus on your best donors with Blackbaud's brand new innovation, the Giving Score. You can also connect with your supporters with integrated e-marketing and social media tools. Go to blackbaud.com/raise more money and find out how you can raise more money. We also have provided to you today in the radio links at tedhart.com, click on radio links, a highlighted link directly to blackbaud.com. Thank you, Blackbaud, for being a sponsor of the Nonprofit Coach. We're going to head right back to the show. Edith and Peter, here in Washington, D.C., there's a well-known phrase that a billion here, a billion there, and you start talking about serious money. You're reporting today $291 billion. That is very serious money. Edith had mentioned earlier that this is 2% of the gross national product of the entire United States, which means the nonprofit sector is a very significant part of our economy. Where does that money go?
That money goes, and we do track it by some key recipient areas. The majority of the money, close to 35% of that money, goes to religion, as it has for a long time. That's about $100 billion of that total. Next in order, and I'm just going to go around the pie chart to give you a sense of the order of magnitude of giving to different areas, but second, highest amount goes to education, and last year that amount was just under $42 billion. The third area is gifts to grant-making foundations, and that amount is $23 million. Then going around the pie in terms of order, the next areas are human service, health, public sector benefit, which is umbrella organizations like the United Way and the Jewish Federation, Catholic Charities, and community foundations. The fourth sector is arts and culture, followed by international affairs and the environment. The environment is the smallest piece of the pie. Well, that's not entirely true, because we've now started tracking gifts to individuals, which is about 2% of the total. And those are primarily gifts of medications from pharmaceutical companies directly to individuals. But giving to the environment, just to give you a sense of the next smallest piece, is 2% of the total.
Edith, when we look at these numbers, obviously, they're, you know, the nonprofit sector is so varied, and the numbers are so vast. I'm just wondering, either Edith or Peter, and it may be hard to predict this, but when you look at the giving in 2009, which was initially estimated at a 3.6% decrease, so 2 years in a row, no increase since 2007, but in your revisions, that actually dropped by 6.5%. I'm just wondering, we're sort of so close to the edge here. Is it possible that 2010 could be revised as no increase?
That's a really good question that I think we just don't have a definitive answer to, Ted. There's no question that we will refine the numbers going forward as final data is available to us. We believe, though, that the extent to which we may have missed some of the drop in philanthropy was largely due to an unanticipated drop in the estimates from the IRS in individual giving, which was closely correlated with the very significant drop in the stock market. So without that kind of volatility, while there will be refinements, we expect to return to the historic model of being within about 1% of what we've predicted overall.
So when you look at, again, you look at the historical trend lines, and as you mentioned earlier, Peter, one of the sort of leading indicators that you have found over time are important for charities to be watching is the stock market. The fact that 2010 was a bit better year, and even when we look back on 2011, that's been a better year in the stock market, at least so far. That gives you reason to believe that perhaps there won't be as significant a revision down.
That's right. And another point that we've kind of been poking around, but I'd like to get right at, is that, you know, when we're talking about organizations and what they should do in their philanthropic programs, we keep referring to how they should reach out to their individual donors as much as possible. The truth of the matter is that individuals drive philanthropy. If you look at the total given by individuals and then add in the amount contributed through bequests, which are recently deceased individuals, and then if you even look at the amount given from family foundation or from foundations, we estimate that about a half of that total is really emanates from individuals who have contributed to foundations. Giving from individuals accounts for about 88% of the total from philanthropy last year. And so it is very much driven by these indicators that we've mentioned, the stock market and how they hold their assets, their personal consumption, and their personal giving.
The 88% that you mentioned that comes from individuals, individuals have always been the lion's share of giving in the United States. Is that up or down or steady compared to the historical average of, say, the last 5 or 10 years?
It's actually down a couple of percent. When you take those three categories that I mentioned, giving from individuals, giving through bequests, and the amount of foundation giving that we can trace to individuals, it has historically been over the 90% mark, but it actually dropped a little bit below the 90% mark this year, and that's largely driven by a drop in individual giving.
And so who made up the money? If individuals took a step back, who took a step forward?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Is that more corporations, foundations? Do we know, have a sense of where that money came from?
Right. The largest increase, the increase basically came from the corporate community. Where giving rose by 10.6%. That's the biggest increase when you look at the four sectors that we track, the four sectors being individuals, bequests, foundations in giving. Now, actually, let me take that back. Charitable bequests, which is the most volatile piece here, and we see great swings from one year to another, and in large part that's driven by the value of the assets within those portfolios that are a part of that bequest, that actually rose 18.8%. But then the next sector where we saw an increase was corporate giving. And what we're seeing is a real shift toward in-kind giving. So that number that's being tracked for corporate philanthropy, while it's been going up, the relative share of actual cash gifts compared to in-kind gifts has been shifting increasingly in favor of in-kind gifts. Foundation giving for all practical purposes was pretty much steady, even with last year. So we haven't seen any real growth there. But we are expecting the foundation community to, we're expecting to see an increase in foundation giving probably over the next 12 to 18 months as the portfolios that the foundations hold and out of which they make their gifts continue to show improvement in the market.
Now, the increase which you're noting in in-kind giving, while that can be significant and important to a lot of charitable organizations, does it long-term give a concern that corporate America or others may not be contributing to the actual operations of an organization and instead wanting to move their product?
Well, I think we've been seeing a change in the way corporations think about their giving for a few years here. And what we're seeing is that corporations are tending to focus their giving on those organizations whose missions align more closely with their corporate social responsibility goals. So they're looking, they're concentrating their giving among fewer organizations, and they're engaging in partnerships with nonprofit organizations that are very multifaceted. So they include both cash gifts and in-kind gifts. We're seeing a real increase in what's being called skill-based volunteerism, where the corporations are looking for ways that their professionals can provide assistance to nonprofit organizations. It involves leveraging their consumers to support the organization. So in some ways, it is supporting the operating budget of the organization, but in a variety of different ways. I think where we're seeing some pullback are it's in the area of smaller gifts to local organizations within the corporation's geography where the alignment isn't as strong, where they might have been making a $25,000 or $50,000 grant to the operating budget or possibly even underwriting an event. We see those numbers declining.
So you see this as a natural evolution of just more complexity to the fundraising model as opposed to any concerns over a shift?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think corporations increasingly recognize they have an obligation to their shareholders, so they're looking for partnerships that both advance who they are and what they try to do as a corporation and also providing benefit to their community wherever that community happens to be, whether it's here or across the country or maybe even overseas.
There's an email question here from Sam in Dallas, and he's wondering about major gift support and where that fits in your overall report.
Well, clearly major gift support is responsible for a large share of the individual number that we've reported here. Peter referenced the drop in itemized charitable contributions from those taxpayers who itemize. That represents about a third of American taxpayers, but that accounts for a very large percentage, more than half of the money that's given away in this country. So major gifts still play a very important role.
Are there outliers either this year or in most years that significantly affect the numbers? I'm thinking of, you know, Gates and others and those kinds of gifts, or are those sort of baked into the numbers and it's still the individual number that's the biggest?
Well, if you look at the history of bequest giving, we see much more fluctuation in that area than we do in the other sectors. And the reason for that is that a small number of very large bequests can move the needle one way or the other. So we do see that in giving through bequests. And if you look further into the various sectors, there's evidence of the extent to which truly major gifts can swing the total. In the aggregate, one sector that suffered disproportionately or a little bit more than some other sectors was education, because historically, education has benefited from very large gifts in large capital campaigns to major educational institutions. And when the market dropped by 50%, those gifts really, they didn't completely go away, but they really were reduced significantly. You could see that education was hurt a little bit more than some areas, and we think that that's in direct relation to the impact of major gifts by individuals.
Now, what about healthcare? That sector was up by 8% in your report. Don't those usually track a little bit closer together, education and healthcare? They track up or down more closely, and we have sort of a divergence here. Healthcare is up, and education's having a tough time.
It's interesting that you point that out. In fact, healthcare was a surprising number, and we think it may bode well for those many institutions that are trying to build a case for support amidst healthcare reform. I do want to note, though, that giving to academic medical centers that are part of a university, that giving would be tracked in the education sector, not in the healthcare sector. So they might be commingled a little bit more than is immediately noticeable.
And we feel fairly confident that those numbers, I know that it's very difficult to get your arms around these numbers, but you know, there's always criticism in terms of charities will report their numbers and have a particular perspective, and Giving USA might say something else. Is that just sort of local versus national?
It's local versus national, but it's also the difference between one institution and another. And we see vast differences in any given sector. There will be organizations whose results are better than the national results reported in Giving USA, better at least in the percentage basis, and others whose experience is quite the opposite. So in any given year, there are some 40-45% of the organizations who have a worse experience and others who have the same or better experience. So it really reflects the degree of sophistication of the individual organization, the nature of the work that it does, the kinds of relationships it has with its board members and its best donors, and the extent to which they have thoughtfully stewarded the gifts of past donors over time. We have found those to be the factors that are really the best predictor of how well any given organization is going to do on a year-to-year basis.
Edith and Peter, thank you so much for joining us here on the Nonprofit Coach. The time always flies by, and of course you've provided this information in such a very important way. Thank you for choosing the Nonprofit Coach. Before we break today, we do just have 2 minutes left here on the show. I want to make sure that our listeners know how they can support the work of the Giving USA Foundation and why that might be important for them to do that. Very quickly, Edith, we just have a little over a minute.
Yeah, first of all, Ted, let me remind your listeners that they can download a free copy of the executive summary at the report. I just checked it. It's online now. So go to www.givingusareports, that's with an S, .org, and they can download a free copy. If they'd like to support the work of the Giving USA Foundation, we certainly welcome that. As you can imagine, this is an expensive undertaking and one that doesn't get less expensive every year. We've got to start from the beginning, from scratch every year, and raise a significant amount of money to make this happen. So if they would go to the GivingUSAFoundation.org website, they can give online, and we would be most grateful for that support, and we will recognize them in the current report online.
Thank you so much again for joining us. You certainly can go to givingusareports.com. You can also go to tedhart.com, click on radio links, and we've provided a direct link to download those reports today. Thank you for joining us here, Edith Falk and Peter Fissinger. We will be right back here on the Nonprofit Coach next week, Tuesday, for a round robin on Twitter, social media, and our Twitter expert. Join us next week. Thank you again for joining us here on the Nonprofit Coach.